Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 77 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Today we're talking about, woohoo, what's next, how to get ahead, and make it the big life. Before we hop into this great episode, I just want to make sure you know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste really great. To learn more, go on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and give us a cool rating and a review. Because guess what? In my spare time, yes, I do have some spare time. I actually read these things, and I love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about Her.
Ah. Boy, oh boy, you want a big life? Well, we've got a fabulous expert to talk to us about what it takes to create and live a big life. We have Anne Choquet. Oh boy, she is the author of a fabulous new book called, yeah, The Big Life, Embrace the Mess. Work your side hustle, yeah, girlfriend. Find a monumental relationship, and become the badass babe you were meant to be. Now, Anne is the author of this book, but she was also a key architect in shaping the national conversation about and for millennial women. As editor-in-chief of 17 from 2007 to 2014, Choquet repositioned the iconic fashion and beauty brand to dominate as the most relevant voice for its WOA 13 million readers. She led that magazine to become the number one teen magazine on the newsstand within her first year while spearheading aggressive cross-platform programming around the most important issues facing young women today. Wow, I love it. You know, Forbes has named her one of the most powerful fashion magazine editors in the country. That's pretty cool stuff. And welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, man. I read your book. Killer. Just absolutely killer. You know,
you
had some great one-liners in there that I loved. You know, in the beginning of the book, you said, you are the revolution. You just don't know it. What did you mean by that?
This generation of young women, millennial women, are changing the way we think about power and success. And they're doing it for everyone, forever. I mean, these changes that this generation of young women are leading are the kinds of things that we all need. When they say that they don't want to sit still, they don't see a corporate ladder up, up, up in a straight line, they want to move up and move around and move sideways and cover a lot of ground and move fast, we are all able to move faster and to cover more ground and freed from this old idea that things have to go in a straight line and that there's a corporate hierarchy. When young women demand freedom from the office, they do not want to have endless FaceTime. They do not want to have endless meetings that go nowhere. We are all able to have a better conversation about work-life balance, even though I hate saying work-life balance. We don't have a better word for it. I think it doesn't exist, but we can get to that in a minute. And, you know, to be honest, when young women have replaced this old idea of competition, that, like, you know this idea that there's room at the table for one woman?
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to fight tooth and nail to hold on to her spot, competitive with everybody else. Young women don't see the world that way. They think when there is sisterhood and collaboration, that there's more power for everyone. And so these are the changes that young women are leading that we all should be grateful to them for.
Okay, now, first tell all of our Her Podcast listeners exactly what's the age period for millennial?
So the book is aimed at women in their 20s and 30s. This is a generation of young women who grew up with me when I was editor of 17, and before that I was on the launch team of a magazine called Cosmo Girl. And so I've had this very long view of the changing tastes and values of young women. And very suddenly, just a couple of years ago, this generation of young women that grew up in the recession, right, came of age just as the recession hit, they got mobilized to take control of their futures. And they started reaching out to me. I saw it when I was at 17. They started reaching out to ask, how do I get started in business? How do I start an internship in high school? How do I start my own business when I'm in college? And now that they're in their 20s and 30s, their ambition is crystal clear. They know what they want to do. They know the mark they want to make on the world. But the rest of the pieces of their life feel like a mystery because they see the world differently. They see opportunities and possibilities differently. And that's what I mean by you are the revolution, because they're making
huge changes in
the world. They're making huge
changes. You know, they're disruptors. And in a beautiful way, I'm thinking right now of my niece, who proudly followed in the family footsteps as a graduate at UC Berkeley. And while she was there, studied as an environmental scientist. And I'll never forget the day, you know, here she is, she graduated, went out there, so excited, another generation through, you know, the campus. And instead of following the old, you know, okay, now I'm going directly to some professional school, graduate school, whatever, and just following those same footsteps of the Gen Xers and the predecessors, even the boomers and back and forth, she just, you know, we asked her, like, you know, what's the next step? By the way, she's brilliant. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I mean, she scored super highs, done well all that time, but always a wild and crazy kid, you know, on the varsity cycling team. You know, just basically, you know, cooks her own meals, does her, you know, stuff, vegetarian, back and forth. So she just proudly looked at us and said, you know something, I'm not going to graduate school right off the bat. I'm not ready. I need to see, you know, who I am. And so I said, how are you going to do that? And I was just fascinated. And she says, I'm going to cycle across the United States by myself. You know, at which point in time, you know, my jaw hit the floor with a clank. And I said, say what? By yourself? Well, of course, she's so smart. She figured out all the apps to figure out where the homes were that were cycler friendly across the United States. And she did it. She started with the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge and ended up in Maine. And there she is hoisting her bike over her head, you know, with a tower behind her, you know, and it was just, you know, it was mind-boggling. But she did it. And at that same time, she wasn't still in a rush. She was discovering herself. She was testing herself. And it was another year or so that went by as she was just doing amazingly interesting things that she finally one day called up and said, okay, I'm ready. And I said, to do what? And she says, oh, I've decided that I definitely want to be an environmental scientist in the field, and therefore I'm going to go to graduate school, and I know specifically where I'd like to go because I've done full due diligence. I'm just loving every moment of this. And off to graduate school, she's going to go. And I'm just watching this whole thing play out. I listen to you, and I listen to her, and I see now how the whole disruption thing works. And how she's disrupting, as it were, and what you call the traditional power structure that Gen X bosses and other people have built, you know, to say, hey, follow in our path. And these young women are saying, not so much. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. A whole entire generation looks at the women who are a generation ahead of them, their bosses, their mothers, their aunts, and they say, yeah, no thanks. I'm not interested in doing things the way you did it. I don't want to lean in. You lean into me. They're saying, I don't want to make the sacrifices that you had to make. I see the world differently. But I'll tell you the truth, that they're still as game-changing rock star pioneers as they are in the way they think about work and business and career. They are still held back by some old ideas of the way things should be in their personal lives. they
like what?
Still, they are still telling me that they see 30 as a deadline, that it's this, that they are terrified of turning 30, that they need to have the career and the family plan and the partner all buttoned up by the time they are 30. And they tell me that there's real anxiety around 30. What do I do? How do I do it? Will I be happy? How do I make myself happy? How do I tick off all these boxes? And they also, you know, they're held back by a lot of old ideas of the way relationships should go. You know, this generation of young women with so much opportunity and so much possibility, they're telling me that they're not finding partners who are excited by their ambition. And frankly, some of the most ambitious women expected that they would be with the most ambitious men. But frankly, a lot of them are finding that they're happier with men who are less ambitious. Not that they're just sitting on the couch, but that they're saying, like, that's fine, I'm happy to let your schedule, your timeline, the demands of your career and your ambition take priority in our relationship. And there is a lot of anxiety around relationships and family and children, and will I have to take my foot off the gas of my career when I decide to have children? And so it's so interesting to me that this game-changing generation is still struggling with a lot of the things that their moms and the generation of women before them struggle with.
Oh my gosh! You know, I've really seen that again in my niece as well. As other millennials I know and work with, and so many question marks, you know, as I was coming through the system. And by the way, full transparency, I adored 17 magazine as I was coming through. A little different then than it is today, but regardless, it's such a great publication. You know, as I was coming through the system, I basically had no female mentors. I'm a physician, and it was a little lonely out there, and we sort of created our own path. What I also noted is that if I did find a female mentor somewhere along the line, not even so much a mentor, just somebody out there, many times they had no children, and they had never married. And that I saw as a real common trend among really high achieving people in the sciences, women in the sciences and medicine. And so I see that, you know, clearly that is changing, but it's still a really tough struggle to figure out how you stay true to these dreams you have and these thoughts of how you want to blaze that trail, and finding someone who really shares the same kind of passion, or even just simply understands you enough, even if they, you know, don't share that passion, enough to be able to partner you and then, you know, move on into like whatever kind of family you define. It's a struggle. I'm watching young women really try to figure this out, especially in the day and age of hookups, and not so much, you know, I mean, how do you find that relationship
when
things are so strange?
I do hear from young women that they are using dating apps, Tinder, OkCupid, as if it's their job. Right, that they say, oh, I have to go home and do my swipes. And it feels like a lot of work, and there's a lot of dating. And so I don't know if necessarily the apps have sort of increased the pool, the dating pool, but I don't know if it's made it easier. You know, I tell, when I do speaking engagements, I tell young women that I didn't meet the man who would become my husband until I was 35, and I was already editor-in-chief of 17 at that point. We didn't have our first child until I was 40, and my daughter, my second child, came when I was 42. And I tell that story not because it's like a humble brag about my big life, because it shows the possibilities. That is not the way I thought my life would go. But I want to show young women that there are a lot of possibilities for the way things can go in your career, in your personal life, and that holding on to ideas of the way things should be or an outdated timeline is not going to help anybody get what they really want. It's only going to
But I think that they're also getting it from their mothers and from, you know, their families, you know, a little bit of that sort of maybe subtle or not so subtle pressure, and maybe even from their peers. And
well, you said,
I think that they're, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You mentioned, though, the role models, the sort of lack of role models. And I still hear that from young women, that they say because they see the world so differently, they don't have role models to look up to. And what I tell them is you need your squad. You need a sisterhood of women around you who are devoted to helping you achieve and succeed whatever it is you want in your life, in your personal life, in your career, in relationships. That these women, the squad, it's not necessarily your best friends. It's different than a mentor, than that kind of formal business relationship. These are women who understand you, and you help them just as much as they help you. They connect you. They listen to you. They sometimes maybe show you you need sort of the legend, the insider legend in your squad. You need a connector. You need an insider. You need a plus one. You need like your wing woman to go to networking events. All of these women help you achieve and succeed, and particularly help you navigate when it feels so complicated, right? It feels like there is no clear-cut path.
Right, right. And that's basically, as it were, as you said in one of your chapters, make your crew work for you.
Yes, make your crew work for you. And it's not your friends necessarily.
Well,
it's not your mom. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not your coworkers. Yeah. These are women that you bond with over the shared threads of ambition.
Oh my gosh, I so agree with you. And over my years, I've definitely made, I call them my estrogen squad.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a little testosterone thrown in there too. But it's all good. You know, you have one chapter I just loved. I mean, I loved them all, but there was one that just hit me, and that is embrace your mess. Work-life balance is a sham. Piles of dirty laundry and empty fridge, well, actually, mine wasn't so empty at that time. It had, like, I think a half-dead head of lettuce in there. And a 4-espresso-a-day habit are actually signs you're making it.
You know, that mess
so what does that
can
mean?
Take you off track. It can derail you. It can amplify your anxiety. Or you can see it as momentum and energy. Because a big life is a messy life. And when you want to achieve something that nobody else has achieved before, you have to say yes to everything. Breakfast meetings, meetups after work, lunches, additional projects, mentor relationships, mentee relationships, side hustles, passion projects. You have to say yes to everything. And when you say yes to everything, you will be exhausted, right? I mean, you will be up in the morning, out late. Everybody knows the good stuff happens at the after party. And then you've got to get up again the next morning and be bright-eyed for an 8 a.m. breakfast. And all of the other things, the laundry, the groceries, all those things that sort of tear at you and tug your attention, they will be a mess. But you have to see that mess as energy, that you are creating energy. And eventually, the things you say yes to will all start to go together. For me, I'm now at a stage where I can say yes to the things that are about helping women and my squad, right? I say yes to events that are about helping other women, about helping young women, and I know what I can say no to and what is going to distract me from my mission. Work-life balance does not exist. It is not a thing. It is not the idea of balance.
I agree. I agree.
It creates anxiety. It makes you feel guilty as if you were abandoning as if your work and your life are in competition with each other. They are the same thing. Your work should feel like actual living. And it all starts to flow together when you see it that way.
I like it because it's a much more integrative and holistic approach. But then there's sometimes the dark side. In one chapter, which again, I'm always talking about perfection. I call it the P word. So in one chapter, you said the pressure to be perfect, the dark side of ambition scary feelings fester in dark corners. When a hard-charging chick feels like her life is out of control and she can't fix the bigger problems, it's easy to start fixating on the little things, the ones you can control. And yet, if you've ever rubbed a stain too hard or pulled the loose thread of a sweater, you know that sometimes the harder you try to fix the problem, the worse it gets and the faster everything unravels. Tell us about that dark side of ambition, the pressure to be perfect.
You know, a lot of the things that young women told me are fairly, unfortunately, common territory at 17. Eating disorders, self-harm, you know,
yes.
Harmful binge drinking, drug use. But so many women in their 20s and 30s told me that under the pressure cooker of trying to achieve and trying to put points on the board and trying to make their mark, those dangerous behaviors came back. And that the scariest, most upsetting thing that a woman said to me is that when you're not feeling perfect in other parts of your life, that's when you try harder to make yourself perfect, and that's when you start to harm yourself. And I didn't know that those behaviors came back or could come back once you dealt with them, that sort of, you know, the dark stuff. But what I think is so important is to talk about it, is to shine light in those dark corners, to lean on your sisterhood and your squad, and to be aware that we are vulnerable and that it is hard to do big things and that you have to give yourself a break and you have to give yourself credit for it. And get rid of what you called the P word, right? Get rid of the idea that we have to be perfect. You know,
there's a whole gray area in there that's a real comfortable place that you have to go to and realize that people who are high-level achievers in life, male or female, doesn't matter, tend to veer away from perfectionism. What they do is they learn to be able to adapt and adjust. You know, they're very facile with that. That they give themselves a license to chill. That they're able to, you know, obviously after having graduated from the School of Hard Knocks, they tried perfectionism, didn't work. And they're trying now to just accept their own humanity and realize you can't do that. But with women, women are much more apt to become anxious, much more so than men. Anxiety and generalized anxiety disorder is much more common in women by a factor of almost 20 to 1. It's part of our inherent nature, especially as nurturers and caregivers. We're constantly anxious and worried about, you know, is someone okay out there? It's just sort of built into our DNA. So just understanding that and embracing it is a very cool thing to do. And just say, okay, I'm kind of expecting a little bit of that. Not a problem. And then try not to default to these very dangerous places. If you've ever had issues with eating disorder, if you've ever had problems with depression and big-time anxiety or anything related to that, it's always lurking. It will become very easy to go back to. So it will pop up again. And that's the pressure, you know, when you feel that pressure to be perfect, then that dark side opens up. So that's why I thought this was one of the most important chapters in your book, because it really spoke to this. I also think that you probably figured out, and you could tell me otherwise, that so many of these young women feel very alone, like I'm the only one with this issue. And it's hard to open up and to talk about it. Did you find that?
You know, they're so connected. We're all so connected, right? But I find that they felt even more isolated the more they looked at their friends' Instagrams. You know, everybody's happy and high-fiving and on vacation and, you know, showing off their gold stars in a way. Or their Facebook feeds where their friends were bragging about their weddings or their promotions or their boyfriends. And, you know, it's so easy to compare yourself to someone else and to feel like you come up short. And so they did. They felt isolated. They felt like everybody was happy except for them. And then they blamed themselves. Why am I having these dark feelings, these uncontrollable urges? And right. it really did make them more isolated. And again, the women told me that what helped was finding someone that they could confide in and finding something outside of themselves that was a safe space where they didn't feel like they were competitive and they didn't feel like they had to be perfect, and leaning into that.
Well, there's your whole posse and your estrogen squad as well. Oh, gosh, this is such a fantastic conversation, Anne. I could go at it all day long. And your book, I think, is just fabulous. So I don't care who you are out there. I'd like you to make sure you know that there's this wonderful book that really speaks to the millennial woman's journey, her path, and the fact that she is the revolution. And
the big
some
life
really
for all.
Great...
It's for all women.
Oh, no. It's for all women. But I really want to make sure people know that the millennial woman has a distinct journey here and that we really need to honor it. And so, you know, whoever you are out there, it really doesn't matter. But this book is really important in its ability to be able to describe this. So if you're a mom of a millennial, a friend of a millennial, if you're just friend or family, it doesn't matter.
A grad gift.
This is a great, yeah, man. Perfect. Right on. That's exactly right. So the name of the book is The Big Life. Embrace the mess. Work your side hustle. Find a monumental relationship and become the badass babe you are meant to be. And this was written by Anne Shokit. And her website is Anne, that's A-N-N, and then shokit.com. Make sure to run on over there and learn more about Anne's marvelous work. Anne, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you. I loved being here. It was an honor, and I
awesome.
Love how much you appreciate the big life message. Thank you.
You better believe it. I sure do. So get the book, everybody. And also remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a moment and rate and review our fabulous segment. This is a wonderful segment because I want to hear about it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.